25 Birds of People.
And now in season 22.
Hans Women Group.
Fresh, global, disruptive.
Ja, herzlich willkommen wieder zur Serie 25 Börse People. Und diese Season 22 des Karriere- und Werdegang-Podcasts ist presented by Hans Women Group. Fresh, global, disruptive. Mein Name ist Christian Drastil, ich bin der Host dieses Podcasts.
Und mein sechster Gast in Season 22 ist Manolis Kontos, Group CEO der Austria Card Holding. And now I switch to English. Welcome to my small studio, Manolis. Your last interview was for CNN, Chris. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Hi. It's great to be with you.
Looking
forward to our discussion.
You are with us with Austria Card 2 years, listed on Vienna Stock Exchange, also listed on Essence Stock Exchange. I start with my classical speech. Can I offer you a sweet or a salty taste? Mannerschnitten, Soletti?
I always go with salty taste.
Salty taste, Soletti. To you. Manolis, we have career talk now, and I looked at a very impressive LinkedIn profile you created, and the first thing I found is Colgate Palmolive in Essence in Greece. Big brand, please, in own words. How was your start in a nice career?
I would say I was quite lucky to start with such an impressive firm like Colgate Palmolive, because for me it was my first, let's say, induction in the business world. Mm-hmm. And right after my studies, I learned a lot, and it counts a lot in my view with which company you start working with, because it sets the foundation in order to be able to build your career after that. So I had the opportunity to work a few years with Colgate in Athens, in Greece. I had the opportunity to learn a lot. I had great experience, not only from the Greek market. It was a really international company that gave a lot of opportunities to the people that work with that company to learn and to grow in their career. So it held the set the foundation for my career advancement after that. Mm. So I stayed with them around 4 years, and after that I decided to go to another American company.
Another American company. General Mills, it's so funny because you're my sixth guest in season 22, my fifth guest in season 22, works for Austrian Good Mills. Yeah, and you worked the next station for General Mills. I never had a Mills person here in 500 episodes, and now 2 in consecutive episodes. Great. So, Mills, Manolis.
Maybe you did it intentionally, so you can have 2 of them.
Or both of you, yes, yes. Let's talk about General Mills, also in Athens, in Greece.
Yes, yes. Another company with a very long history.
Yeah.
It's interesting, the story of General Mills. It started from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it was what it says. It was in the milling of flour. And it had managed to grow internationally. I joined the, let's say, what there was a type of startup in the Greek market. I was one of the first 10 employees that joined the company. So I decided to join them because I wanted to be part of an organization that would be establishing from zero, setting up a factory. We had a factory in Athens to produce, let's say, dough products that was served for the local market, but also for exportation. And I went there as a finance controller and quickly moved up the ranks and became the finance director for quite a large region. And we were running with my team from Athens, all the Middle East and Africa, as far as financial controlling and reporting was concerned. This role gave me a lot of opportunities to start interacting with other cultures, with other people. It was my start of my extensive traveling, I would say. And I've been on a plane from the beginning when I joined General Mills in 2000. So it's now 25 years that I really spend a lot of time close to the markets and close to the people. So I started going to the Middle East, in North Africa, and it was a fascinating experience. And also gave me the opportunity to learn what it means to start business from nothing. I remember days that we were starting business in certain countries where we had no presence, and we had to absolutely go and meet new partners, launch brands in the supermarkets, and look at the business growing and supporting that growth.
A big brand in the supermarkets also is Coca-Cola, for example, and you worked for a Coca-Cola Hellenic bottling company, also known as HBC. Also in Austria known as HBC, Hellenic means Greece, Griechisch. Why is the name Hellenic so strong in the corporate identity of this Coca-Cola unit?
So Coca-Cola Hellenic continues to be one of the biggest bottlers of Coca-Cola, the American, let's say, brand. The reason that you see the Hellenic there is because the ownership is Greek. So this company has its roots in Greece. It started, interesting enough, from the Africa region. So that family that has still quite an important stake in the listed company, which is Coca-Cola Hellenic, started from Africa, became a bottler in Greece, and from there they started managing around 28 countries when I was there. And recently also they did a further expansion in the African region where they acquired another bottler. So the Greek, let's say, roots has been expanding, and I was proud to be part of that team. And it was the time I decided to stop flying a lot because I had a role just for Greece. But quickly I realized that I prefer interacting and working in more than one market. That's why I decided to move on in my career relatively fast in order to get into a new venture.
And now I give a timestamp. Now we're in March and the summer 2007. And then you went to Corus Natural Products as a CFO, I think, of a group of five companies across Europe and USA. Just tell us the story about Corus, please.
So Corus is a very interesting person. So the name of the company comes from the surname of the person that was the founder.
Okay.
So that person was running an apothec, as we call it here, let's say, in Austria. And he had this vision to create a global brand. So I was fascinated by this. And coming from, you know, structured company, my two previous companies were American, very structured companies. I met the person on a private level. I was fascinated with his story. And he asked me if I could help him really become international because of my previous experience and knowledge. And I went for it. So I decided to join the group there. It was just listed in the Athens Stock Exchange. I took the role of the CFO, as it says in my CV, but practically I was not just doing the CFO. You know how it is in smaller companies. You do a bit of everything. So my title was CFO, but I practically helped that brand become international. So I was very much involved in the business development side, establishing the brand in US, working with large retailers like Sephora, opening stores, branded stores of the company in various places. In New York, we had a store in Soho. In UK, we had a store in London. So I was very much involved in the business development side and also taking care of the financials of the listed company. I'm proud to say that during the time I was there, the company really got a lot of traction and visibility. A lot of investors were interested. And now, as we speak, by the time I was leaving, a big fund invested and took the company private because they saw that it had a lot of potential to grow it internationally. And as we speak, the brand now is all the way in Asia. So little company that started from Greece managed to create an international brand. And I'm happy to say that was part of that journey.
In your personal journey with Corus, Lehman also attended and flashed us all countries, also Greece, of course. How was Lehman for Corus and in your memories?
It was the fact that we were not only dependent on the Greek market, helped a lot the company survive through that period.
I thought so, yes.
So at that time, there was also a very important agreement we had done with Johnson & Johnson in US, where they were distributing the brand in US. So that helped us a lot get through this crisis when a lot of companies suffered a lot in Greece. We also suffered, of course, because there was a big dependency still on the Greek market.
Yeah.
So the Greek market was quite impacted. But the fact that we had this international presence helped the company get through the rough, let's say, waters.
And in 2011, you went back to our friends of General Mills.
Yes.
The second era of Manolis Kontos with General Mills. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so I always kept in touch with them. I had a great relationship all the way to the head office in Minneapolis. The CFO of the listed company had started also growing in his career during my first, let's say, tenure with General Mills. So we always exchanged, you know, messages and kept in touch. So when they decided to revisit the way the go-to-market model was for the Middle East and Africa region, they asked me to go back and get on board and help them into transitioning from a company that was mostly in a trading model, having, you know, distributors taking care of the, you know, the commercialization of the brands of the group. It had great brands like Häagen-Dazs, like Betty Crocker. Mm-hmm. So there was very powerful brands. But the way they were managing Middle East up to then was in the hands of a distributor. So when they decided to revisit the go-to-market model, they asked me to go on board, take initially the role of a CFO for Middle East and Africa. And very soon, I took over also, it was my switch in my career from CFO roles to managing director roles back at 2012 mm-hmm. At that time. And I helped the transition to be more in control of the destiny of the brands on the shelf, be involved in commercialization, on the plans, on the discussions with the trade. And they gave me another interesting challenge. They told me, you need to go to South Africa because yeah. we have also a...
It's so great. I mentioned Birgit Stöber, the guest from Good Mills. She also was in South Africa. Yes, okay. It's nice. Yeah.
So it was my first New experience. Yeah. It was my first experience in the sub-Saharan yeah. region. Okay. It's, you know how it is with these type of companies when you want to switch from one direction that you're in, from a CFO role to a general manager role, they always... try you out in a more managed and contained situation, not a large-scale market. So they gave me the opportunity to start becoming you know, responsible for the whole business in the sub-Saharan territory. I was based in Johannesburg, so I was sharing my time between Dubai because I kept my role as a CFO of the region, but also took also the role of running sub-Saharan Africa, and I was spending two to three weeks a month in Johannesburg and and all the area around that.
Give me hope, Joanna. Yeah, yeah, Eddie Grant signed.
Yes, yes.
The last step before we come to our main topic, Austriacard Holdings, is a managing director position for Lycos, 5 years.
Inform Lycos, yes, yes.
Inform Lycos, yes.
So it was the time that I wanted to come back into Europe. Yeah. So I felt that I was getting away from my roots, not necessarily Greece, because I didn't come back to Greece, but I felt that I wanted to find my way back to Europe and not continue in this journey of, you know, being in all these different markets. And if I would stay with General Mills, I would have to go even further to Southeast Asia, because all these American companies put you on a career path where every 3-4 years you need to move on. So I decided that I, for personal reasons and family reasons, that I wanted also to come back to Europe. And that's mm-hmm. when the opportunity came to go and join this very different company from what I had done before. So I met the management back then. They were the previous CEO I had come across, and we had worked together in Chorus. That's why he had kept in touch with me. And when he heard that I was looking for opportunities to return back to Europe, he said, why don't you come and join us? And I said, why would you get a person like me? I'm a consumer goods person. This is a completely different, situation. It's a B2B business. You are working with all these financial institutions and, you know, public authorities and these type of, users, which is not what I have been doing. And he said, but I know you've done all these great things and you have been able to adapt in all these different markets. So I'm completely confident that you will be able to do this. So that's when I returned. I was practically based in Romania in the beginning because Inform Lycos had a very big presence in Romania and Greece. These were the two main markets that it was present. And I decided to focus on Romania because it was a bigger market and I saw that it had more potential. So I decided to allocate most of my time and effort to grow that market. And I'm happy to say that When I joined, the market of Romania was almost the same like size like in Greece. And after a few years, it was triple the size of Greece. So, and this was behind the fact that we focused with the team there to grow into new services, get into new solutions. So when I joined Informlikos, it was mostly on the communication in paper format, and it was a company with a very long history, 130 years now as we speak, a very reputable company in the markets that it was present. But what it needed is to evolve its offering. So the reason that they decided to bring someone like me was in order to be able to evolve the offering and move away from the paper communication and the data management that they were doing into more digital technologies. And this was my first attempt to start converting this group into becoming a solution and service provider. I started from the Romanian and Greek market doing it.
Fresh Global Disruptive.
So genau, jetzt der Fresh Global Disruptive Einspieler von Unternehmen der Hans Women Group, und es passt auch zu einem internationalen Unternehmen wie der Austriacard. Newsrooms ist das Content-Tool, das Ihre Sprache spricht. In nur 3 Schritten erstellen Sie Qualitätstexte wie Newsletter, Social Media Postings, Pressemitteilungen, aber auch White Paper in Ihrer Corporate Language, ganz ohne Prompts. Außerdem sparen Sie Zeit, steigern Ihre Reichweite und liefern stets relevante Inhalte für jede Zielgruppe. So stärken Sie alle Teams in Ihren Unternehmen, von Marketing über PR bis zur Rechtsabteilung, mit maximaler Effizienz. Alle Informationen finden Sie auf newsrooms.ae.
Fresh Global Disruptive.
And now you are in Vienna, and in Vienna in March 2023 starts another journey, the IPO of Austriacard Holdings in Vienna and in Greece, in Athens. And when did your personal journey with Austriacard start, and in which position?
So as I came over to Informlikos back in 2018, I stayed in that role for 4 years, almost 4 or 5 years. So, and then as soon as the company, the group now, Austriacard Holdings, as you said, got listed in 2023, I also moved over here in Vienna. So I was the deputy CEO by then. And I moved over to Vienna so I could also start in the transition as being the successor of the previous CEO. So for that reason, I moved with the family here. I started living here in Vienna. So it was the first time I was living in this part of the world, which is very interesting. And I enjoyed a lot being here in the market and being here in this country. It has a lot of, potential for me to, from here, to be able to access a lot of markets that we are working with. It's a very central location. So from that point of view, it was a great move for us. So as soon as you said, we got the company listed in both the stock exchange, the rationale behind it is because Austriacard was already the holding of the Informlikos business, but it was not listed. Informlikos, on the other side, was a listed company in the Athens Stock Exchange. So that's why we decided to also list the group in the Vienna Stock Exchange, but keep the listing in Athens. So it was like a technical cross-border listing that took place. And the reason that we wanted to be listed in the Vienna Stock Exchange is because for us, we want to also make clear to the investor community that we are an Austrian headquartered company. It is important for us to keep this presence and footprint that we have here. And it was a signal to the market that we continue being present here. And it's interesting at this point to mention that Austriacard became originally part of the group through the Greek company back in 2007. So one of the commitments that the major shareholder did back then was that he would keep the presence and the head office being in Vienna. So now that we got listed, it's an absolute proof of that. And also it makes sense because from visibility and from an engagement point of view, it makes a lot of sense to have our head office here in Vienna and being listed in the Vienna Stock Exchange because we are not a company that just started from Greece. We are a company that we are proud that started from Greece but has managed now to have presence and have people from US all the way to South Africa. Mm. So now it's a really international company that we are running here.
You have chosen a big segment, continuously trading in the ATX Prime. It's a strong presence on the Vienna Stock Exchange. For the investors who do not know Austria Card Holdings in detail, a short investment story for your company, please.
So it's a company that if you ask anyone living in Austria, will have one of our products in his wallet. So because we already, the company has been in Austria. It was back then owned by the Central Bank of Austria. So it worked historically with all the Austrian banks and has followed their journey of expansion and getting out of the, you know, the territory of Austria and getting all the way to Central and Eastern Europe. So it's a company that has been known for years for the card products. That's why the name is also Austria Card up to now. And as I said, all the citizens here in Austria have one of our products. And if you look in the behind, in the back of one of your cards that you use the bankomat, let's say, you will see the name of Austria Card. People don't notice it. When I tell them that, they say, ah, interesting. I didn't realize that this is a card that is produced by Austria Card. So when...
Is there a stamp or a sign on the
card? Yeah, it is written. Okay. It's written in the back. Yeah. You will see, because it is a mandatory thing.
Everyone has to look now. Thank you for the short pause. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So what I would like to say about Austria Card and the journey that we have embarked on and how we have been now able to transform, let's say, this organization and build on the foundation that it had and the trusted relationships that it has with all these financial institutions over the course of the years. We have decided in the course of the recent years to evolve into a more holistic service provider and have... now in our portfolio, technology embedded in the solutions that we offer. So now you need to imagine an organization that up to now was just providing the product, which is the card, but now is able to complete the whole journey. So meaning that if you want to become a customer of the bank, we have the platforms and solutions to onboard you on the bank, the know your customer process. We are able, obviously, to issue now the card. We are able now to personalize this card and also do all the analysis of the transactions by using technology in order to be able to get meaningful decisions out of this. So the same goes with identity cards, because what the company is really doing is providing end-to-end solutions for citizens and for banking institutions. So, and the cards can be means for payment or can be means for authentication. So this is what the company is doing, providing the means of authentication for citizens or the means for payment, again, for the end users. So we are now getting more and more in this direction where we are able to offer more embedded technology solutions. And one of our recent, let's say, investments that we have done is also on the artificial intelligence side, where we are using technology in order to automate processes, make, let's say, the life of people easier, release time for them to focus on what counts. We are not using technology to replace the person. We are using technology to give them the tools that are needed so they can do more meaningful and not trivial work.
Now let's do a short word wrap. You have a cooperation with Dell.
Yes.
Big brand from the USA. Just a few words about it, please.
Yeah. So we recently launched a new, let's say, solution product, which is combining technology with a product. So in this case, the solution is called GABI Appliance. Mm-hmm. So GABI Appliance come from the generative AI solution that we offer. That's where the name GABI comes from. And the partnership with Dell is a vote of confidence for such an organization that what we have developed is really worth it. If you see an organization like Dell being okay, let's say, to co-launch such a product, it is a vote of confidence that our teams have really developed something that's very interesting. And what is this? It is providing generative AI in a box, which means that it's on a control environment. It's not in the open cloud. It's on either private cloud or on-premise. So you get all the benefits and all, you know, the tools that you need to use the technology, but without having the risk of your data being out there in the open. Okay. So what this GABI appliance is that it has pre-installed our software on the Dell servers. So now any organization, from large organizations, even to small, medium-sized organizations, are able to get access to this technology without having to invest hugely. And it's scalable, and you can start small and you can grow. So this is a great innovation that we are bringing to the market. We just launched it. So we are also planning in the next few months to do some launch events in various countries. We are starting from Greece, but we will be rolling it also to other markets like here in Austria or Romania or UK, where we'll be talking more and more about this. So we have a lot of expectations out of this. We know it's a lot of people will say that they are offering AI, but I believe the biggest differentiator for us is that we are offering AI in a secure environment and in a way that is accessible not only for large organizations, but also for small and medium-sized organizations.
I also find a payment solution and BioCard in your portfolio. BioCard, I have an idea. What is the meaning of the N?
Yes. So BioCard is started as an idea for payment, but I would say that it has evolved in the recent years to be more on the authentication side. So a lot of our competitors also launch in part of the innovation, you know, in our portfolio. We not only have the standard plastic cards, we also have metal cards. We also have these biometric cards, as you mentioned. But in my view, this type of innovation, especially on the biometric side, is more on the citizen authentication side. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be able to prove that you and you didn't take my ID and you go around and pretend it's me by having a biometric card which has your fingerprint, let's say, in order to be able to use it and authenticate yourself, especially for biometric cards that are now including a chip which has much more information. And what I see as a trend is that a lot of organizations are looking now to combine payment with identity and also be able to sign documents electronically with this identity card. So the journey that we see that we're going to be embarking on is using this type of technology more on the authentication of citizens and being able to authenticate yourself and sign documents electronically by having this type of biometric card. Also, you will see that we are mentioning card as a service, as a solution. I would say that one of our biggest channels that we serve on top of the, you know, the traditional banks that we already work with is the neobanks, as we call them. So the neobanks, which are mainly the likes of Revolut and N26 and Monzo and Starling, so all these neobanks.
And also the neobrokers.
The neobrokers, yes, exactly. Okay. Trade Republic and all this, yes. Yeah. So all this channel, we have been with this channel from its establishment somehow.
You're a partner of the next generation.
Yes. Okay. So we helped a lot of these neobanks at their establishment in order to be able to launch their program, get the first card. So now we are able to also jointly with them see the growth of their market share and get a piece of that growth by serving them. So it was a very wise choice that we decided when others thought it was not worth to spend time in supporting the launches of these neobanks. But now we see that even the big banks are really copying what these neobanks are doing. So this is helping a lot the group in its growth potential. The neobanks have the benefit that they have no borders. So when other banks, you know, in order to be able to trade, they need, you know, point of contacts or, you know, locations where the citizen has to go and transact. The neobanks can be set up in London, for example, but be able to trade internationally. So we see that neobanks is also a channel that we can offer more services. This is where the card as a service comes, because the neobanks don't have big organization internally in IT, especially in the beginning, to do all the, you know, the setups needed. So we go and offer to them also turnkey solution. So we help them launch a program. We can get them in touch with Visa and Master. We can get them an IBAN. We can give them processing. We can give them the card, which is what we have been giving them from the beginning, and also help them with the transactions and the analytics of their transactions. So this is why we call it card as a service. So we offer the card, but with a lot of complementary services around it.
I think it's a nice aspect of your Austriacard investment story, because it's not so easy to invest in the neobanking scene and in the neobrokerage. Yeah, and then Austriacard is a play you can add to your portfolio if you want. I will bring with you figures, facts and figures. Employees, the size of Austriacard
Holdings. Yes. So we are proud to say that we are a big employer now. We are becoming a big employer. So we started, let's say, as we said, from Greece originally. Then we came into Austria, and from Austria we started expanding internationally. So I believe that the real international journey started from the time that Austriacard was part of the group back in 2007. So now we have around 2,500 employees internationally. We have people that are all the way from US all the way to South Africa. We have around, let's say, three main factories that we produce, let's say, the smart cards, as we call them. We have one here in Austria. We have in Romania.
Nice to hear, yeah.
Yes. We have one in UK, so we have quite a good footprint, European footprint. We have 9 personalization centers. What is a personalization center? Is where your card is becoming personal, meaning that has your information on it. It's not just a blank card, but you also have all your data there. These personalization centers are, again, in to be able to be closer to the market and when the business is taking place. And we issue quite a large number of cards. We issue around 130 million cards, let's say, annually.
Personalized,
all of them.
Every year.
So that way you can are able to transact or be able to authenticate yourself. So we believe that we are going to continue in this path into expanding our presence and having, let's say, more footprint. So having an origin from here, but I would say the Austrian market, we like it or not, is not the biggest market. So although the companies is registered here, most of this business is international, I would say. So it has its origin here. A lot of know-how, a lot of R&D is happening here in Vienna. But the actual business is out there in the Middle East, in Turkey, in US, in Africa, in of course in Europe, where we have a strong footprint. But our growth potential is also from the new markets that we are under-indexed, underrepresented. So we are investing in people that are based closer to the markets, and we keep the know-how and the IP in certain centers. As I said, Vienna is one of them, where all the secure technology and hardware and embedded security is dealt here from experts. We have strong partnerships with all the semiconductor suppliers, which trust us in developing new solutions and testing new security protocols. So Austriacard, what we have to keep in mind is an organization that has a very deep know-how in hardware and embedded security, which means that how to encrypt information on a smart card in the most safe way, and because you're dealing with money at the end of the day when you're using the card to transact. Either that is a printed card or a virtual card.
I presented you as the Deputy Chief Executive Officer in time of the IPO in March 2023. March 2024, you are the Group CEO. And let's talk about investor relations. We are now here in Vienna in my studio. If an Austrian investor hears this and wants to contact the company, how are you positioned in investor relations?
So we are quite active, I would say, in this investor space. To be honest, there is more education that we need to do as far as the investor community is concerned. I would say that we are quite well known in the Athens Stock Exchange, because the company or its affiliate has been known for quite a number of years.
Because of the route from Greece,
yes. Here in Austria, I would say that since we got listed a few years back, we are now engaging more and more in investor relation conferences, either that they are here or in UK or Frankfurt or wherever, so that way we can be approached by potential investors. We see ourselves as a company that is interested in investing for the long run. So we are, because we have a heritage of performance which is quite healthy and strong. We have the right foundations. So we are implementing our strategy in this direction of being a holistic service provider on the citizen identity and payment solutions. And we believe that we have a lot of way to go still.
I will link the investor relations zone of your homepage in the show notes of this episode. And the stock trades in a corridor. And last days it went up a little bit. And you sounded optimistic for the future in your last statements with the youngest figures.
Yes.
A few words about it now.
Absolutely. So if we look up to last year at the group financials, we will see double-digit growth recorded both in the revenue line and also in the profit line. So this is in the back of implementing the strategy that has to do with these main pillars, which has to do with geographical expansion, product and portfolio development, and holistic service provider. This year, turbulence, let's to say it as it is, from the Turkish market. Because the Turkish market, although it had grown for us around 50% CAGR growth in the recent years, this was a year of adjustment. Because of the levels of cards that the Turkish banks had there, they decided to go and adjust their holding of cards, and this impacted a lot the replenishment that we are doing for that market. Turkey is a big market for us. It's ranking in the first 3-4 positions as far as size, contribution for the group. So the fact that the Turkish market had a slowdown, this impacted the first half of the year. So that's where the investors were a bit concerned, because when you see a performance that has been always double-digit growing and suddenly you see a decline in the first half, they wanted to step back a bit and see what's going on. Is this temporary or is this going to be, we're going to put it behind us? We issued our results this month, this week, and we already showed that from the third quarter we are going back to growth, because now we absorbed. We saw the impact of Turkey being absorbed in the first half, and from the third quarter we are already picking up, and we are optimistic in the quarters to come and in the years to come. So this was just a temporary phase that we had to go through, and we remain confident that the strategy that we have chosen to implement is the right one, and we remain optimistic as far as the growth of the company, both from a top line, but more importantly also from a profit perspective, because the move that we are doing to offer more services has a better margin profile also. So this will also improve the ratios of the EBITDA and net profit on performance on sales, because of the improved portfolio mix. Mm-hmm. More on the service side and less on the product.
Also, like is the activity on directors' dealings the managers do, and it's a strong signal to the market every time. Yeah, to find last words for this podcast, I liked it very much. If you're not working, any hobbies, any things you love to do in Vienna?
So what I enjoy in Vienna is being able to go for walks in the beautiful parks.
Me too.
And when I have the time, also do a bit of cycling. I used to have more hobbies. I was a big fan of tennis, and I'm still, and I used to play tennis, but unfortunately, I have not been doing that well recently. But it's one of the things that I want to pick up again. So what I enjoy is, as I said, cycling and walking, but my plan is to also try to get back into tennis, because I joined a lot, and my wife and kid, both of them play tennis at a very good level, so I want to make sure that I'm part of the family also on that.
It was a pleasure, Manolis. Now the final music of the podcast season plays, presented by Hansmann Group. Nice to have you here. All the best for Austriacard, for yourself, and I'm looking forward to see you again. Thank you.
It was a great pleasure to meet you. We didn't have the chance to meet before. I enjoyed our conversation. I'm looking forward.
And we will do it again in the future.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Thank
you. Disruptive.